Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News. Good morning, I'm Ed Donahue. There is tornado damage this morning in Alabama and Mississippi. At least two deaths have been reported. Two people were killed north of Montgomery, Alabama. They were in a home that was struck by a tree. Severe weather is expected to move east from the storm system. The government says the economy grew at a 2.9% annual rate from July through September, an upgrade from previous estimates. It comes despite high interest rates and chronic inflation. Congress is preparing to take up a bill preventing a freight rail strike. In the House, Michelle Fishback is a Republican from Minnesota.
Our country's economy can't handle a strike that reports would say would cost $2 billion a day.
The bill lawmakers are considering would impose a compromised labor agreement brokered by the Biden administration that was ultimately voted down by four of the 12 freight rail unions. Inflation in Europe has eased for the first time in almost a year.
Despite a modest easing, the double-digit rate still hovers near a record that's robbed consumers of their spending power and led economists to predict a recession. An EU agency says the consumer price index in the 19 countries that use the euro currency hit 10% in November from a year earlier. That was a drop from 10.6% in October, the first decrease since June 2021. Out of control inflation is being fed by high energy prices caused by Russia largely cutting off natural gas over the war in Ukraine, as well as bottlenecks in supplies of raw materials and parts, and rebounding demand after COVID-19 pandemic restrictions ended. Charles de Ledesma, London.
Indiana's Republican Attorney General asked the state's Medical Licensing Board to discipline an Indianapolis doctor who spoke publicly about providing an abortion to a 10-year-old rape victim who traveled from Ohio after its more restrictive abortion law took effect. This is AP News.
We tried Dynavite for gut health and immune support, and after a couple of weeks, our little Gizmo was acting like a puppy again. His coat was shinier, he had a lot less scratching and shedding, and he seemed like his happy old self.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get them a shirt from Untuckit. Untuckit shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels, wrinkle-free shirts, performance shirts with stretch, and cozy sweaters that are all perfect for right now. They even have a line for her. Find the perfect gift for every guy on your list at one of 80-plus Untuckit stores or at Untuckit.com. Untuckit, shirts designed to be worn.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you. Or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Darrow became famous in Wisconsin for presiding over the Darrell Brooks trial. Today, she announces she's running for Wisconsin Supreme Court. The election is expected to determine the court's ideological majority. Darrow was appointed by former Governor Scott Walker and is reportedly active in the Republican Party. Flu cases in southern Wisconsin quadrupled in November. UW Health says it had 422 positive flu cases last week alone, more than any other number all last flu season. People are gathering more than they have in almost 3 years. State health officials are encouraging people to get their flu shots, stay home when sick, and wash hands frequently. In sports, the Bucks are at the Knicks tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
A bottle of white, a bottle of red.
Welcome back to the third hour of As Goes Wisconsin on this last day of November, Wednesday, hump day, Greg Bach day. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
One more hour. This is going to be a very fun hour.
Yeah. The first hour was the winning hour.
Then we had even the second hour was not so serious.
No.
With political news.
But now,
I feel like we all just need a little bit of a break from the political news. And so dabbling with the things that you need to know, but not harping on the debt ceiling. We'll probably do that at some point over the next week and a half.
Is it weird that when anyone brings up the debt ceiling, I automatically think of Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory when he yells about how he bumped into the
ceiling. The ceiling's cleaned.
Yep. Because you stole fizzy lifting drink, therefore you get nothing. Good day, sir.
Such a jerk that Willy Wonka. I mean, I guess
it was a test.
But that is a good segue.
Is that gaslighting?
Because there is a subreddit that is called Am I the A-Hole? But that's actually spelled out, but it's the radio, so we'll temper
ourselves.
Because
there's freedom on the internet.
And it's exactly what it sounds like. It's when people submit stories and they open it up to the forum of the Redditors to say, am I the jerk in this situation? And they lay out the scenario and paint the picture and are, I think, come to it genuinely asking, I thought I was right in this situation. Was I? And looking for confirmation. And in that scenario, who was the jerk? Charlie or Willy Wonka?
Honestly, I think... Oh, that's a good question. Holy cow. Oh,
think about it.
I think...
Think about it. We don't think about it. If you have an answer to that question, we're still going to move on to the restaurant, but that's a good question. So this segment is... Am I the a-hole? We're going to talk about restaurants, but in the story of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, who is the jerk?
I'm a
Willy Wonka or Charlie?
I'm a male 12 years old. I was out with my grandpa, 67.
All right. So where I really wanted to go with this is, I think something that we all experience, which is when you're in a restaurant, what is the threshold of bad service before you feel that you're not the jerk for just walking out.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, Jane, you've had this with takeout that just never came. I had this with a local restaurant in my neighborhood recently that was very frustrating, but I live there. So I was like, I have to handle this because this is like my neighbors. But someone posted on this subreddit that I think has people, I think he's right. But I think I'm asking to the audience, what is the threshold? How long do you need to wait for your food to come after you've ordered at a restaurant before it is totally reasonable for you to walk out? 844-967-2789. That is 844-96.
Party!
What is your threshold for it being a reasonable reaction to bad service for you to walk out without paying at a restaurant? So, this was the situation that got posted on Reddit, and then we can share our own stories. But So he said, I, a 23-year-old male, am in a long-distance relationship with my girlfriend, who is a 22-year-old female. I went to see her last weekend and took her out for our one-year anniversary. I wanted to take her somewhere nice, so we went to a place my coworker recommended. I looked it up, and it had great reviews for food and service. So we went to go see the Van Gogh Experience and then went out to dinner. I had made a reservation, and the restaurant was not busy at all, so I was surprised when we were asked to wait. We went into the lounge and had a drink and waited. About 20 minutes later, the hostess came for us and we were seated. It took a long time for the waiter to come for our order. I was trying to have a good time, but I was hungry. We ordered straight off the menu, no substitutions or deletions. And then we waited. We had another drink. I asked the waiter about our food. They said, it'll be right out. I saw that people who were seated after us got their meals. 1 hour after we sat, I had had enough. I asked my girlfriend if she was comfortable if we left, and she said that she was waiting for me to suggest it. So I left money for the drinks on our table, and we walked out. The waiter saw us leaving and came over to ask us what the problem was. I said that we had waited long enough and that we had had other plans, so we left. We went to a chain steak restaurant and had a great meal. My girlfriend thanked me for getting us out of the other place without a scene. The server asked about our evening. We told him. They brought us complimentary dessert, even though they and their restaurant did everything right. I tipped very well, 20% plus the cost of the dessert. When I got back to work, I told the guy who recommended the place in the first place about the crap service, and he said I was the jerk for walking out without paying for my food. I never got any food. I don't think I'm wrong. Even if our appetizers never made it out of the kitchen. And thus, the power of this subreddit, people weighed in. So what is your reaction, Greg?
Well, first of all, I think it's one of the most clear-cut cases, in my opinion. He is not the problem. Like, between the sitting in the bar waiting to get seated, the fact that it took a long time for this server to show up, the appetizers never showing up and the food never showing up. No, nope. Done. Pay for your drinks. Pay for what you've imbibed.
What you got.
Cool deal. He is not the problem here. And the bigger problem is the coworker who thinks he is. Mm. That to me, I'd be like, if I told that story to somebody and they said, no, you should have stayed and waited. How long do I wait?
Yeah.
And do I pay for food I never get? What is your reasoning for why I'm the problem here? So yeah, this guy's in the clear.
Jane?
I'm kind of torn.
Oh,
only because of the current problem with people getting and retaining employees.
Mm-hmm.
And if this were not potential, if we were out of COVID and we were long away from COVID or pre-COVID or something like that, I wouldn't have any problem with it. But I do think that restaurants in particular and the hospitality industry also in particular are having a really difficult time getting and retaining employees. And if you only have one chef back there and you lost your sous chef and you have two waiters but again, do you wait 2 hours?
But the question I have then is on what responsibility then is it of the business to tell the people, hey, this is a situation. If you know, like it just say your food will be right out. Well, no, that's no. If I go to a restaurant and you say to me those things you just said, Jane, I could see sticking around, supporting. I get it. Things happen. But if you're not making any effort to explain to the people that you're serving why what's going on is happening, if that is in fact the case, and you're just sort of saying like your food will be out soon, then no,
that's a good point, Greg. If that was the issue, and if they had owned up to that issue and asked for a little more patience, that would certainly make it more palatable, right?
Mm-hmm.
What say you? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96.
Party.
We have a text from the 323.
323.
323. Giannis had an issue with Brady's taco joint. They didn't have any room for him, so he went to a different place. Everything ended up okay, and Giannis was a class act.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
I have a similar story about that.
Well, here. So we want to hear from you. What is the... Is this guy wrong or is he right? But also, what is the threshold? What is the length of time that you feel like this? I gave you a chance and now I got to go eat? Because I think that is the other thing with restaurants is you are screwing with people's like hangry level of I need to have sustenance, or my sugar levels are going to drop and I'm going to not be very nice. And so, cause I agree with you, Greg, as far as in the situation that happened with me, that was most similar to this, it was not a nice restaurant. It was not my anniversary. We were maybe mildly hungover, and though I did really need to eat, but it was a neighborhood spot. And it was not only that it just took so long, and we did end up waiting, we got it to go. It was the attitude.
Yeah.
It was the attitude of the service. I mean, there was other things, like the drink order was wrong, but it was mostly just how long the food took. But it was the attitude almost as soon as we sat down that was, we were her burden.
Yeah.
Like, that felt she was not... Because we had questions about the menu, and the response was pretty curt. And I think that, to me, always is like, you do work in the service industry, ultimately. And the communication and the attitude, I think, sets so much of the tone for a reasonable response when things are out of your control in the kitchen, a mistake as far as the order was put in wrong.
Yeah.
I think there's some people who are totally unreasonable in their expectations, is like they have zero understanding or patience. I would not ever, as someone who's worked in the service industry, I don't think I'm one of those people. But as long as you're always communicating as far as setting expectations of how long this is going to take or why it's taking so long, offer a round of drinks, like take something off the menu. Like there are
apologize.
Like, so I think that there is, it doesn't sound like that any of those things were offered.
Yeah.
So thus I do side with, he was not wrong.
No, he was not wrong. There's a place that I used to go to a lot here. Well, in Milwaukee, that, in my opinion, their service has gone downhill. Their attitude, they've started slinging attitude towards people. I've got people who've told me multiple stories of just being rude, like calling up. I called up one night and I said, hey, I want to order food. And they're like, we're not taking orders over the phone. They hung up on me. And I'm like, one, why aren't you taking orders over the phone? Two, hanging up on me, that's just absolutely rude as all get out. Like, you know, I have a high threshold for that stuff because I work in the service industry. Mm-hmm. And I understand that tensions can rise. And but like when you have no base level of empathy or no base level of connection or base level of any sort of with people, that's when I started to get frustrated. I went to a Burger King the other night, and they said, like, please pull around in our parking lot. We'll bring the food out to you. It took 20 minutes. I was the only person in the drive-thru. And I still was like, thank you. Like, I drove away going, should I have said something? I feel like I should have said something.
Was it like one person working in the entire Burger King?
I have no idea. I didn't go inside. They didn't. Yeah. I was, and I kept on doing that thing of like, should I go inside? Be like, hey, where's my food? But there's also a very base level idea of, I don't want to cause a scene. I don't want to.
Well, and this opens.
I don't want to ruffle feathers.
This opens a whole other conversation. We still want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Who's the jerk in this situation, and what is your threshold when it comes to service and what you feel like you shouldn't have to pay for? But I feel like this opens the conversation of who's the responsible for that. Is it the owners and who they're hiring? But like Jane said, in a hard environment to hire good people, and you just got to hire who you can and you deal with their attitude, because you just got to, it's a job that needs, it's a business that needs bodies.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that more when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay with us.
Meet you anytime you want in our Italian restaurant.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with a high of 28. Westerly winds 20 to 25 miles an hour. Clear skies tonight, lows around 14. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 34. Overcast skies Friday, decreasing clouds by Saturday. Upper 40s Friday, low 30s by Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are here with Greg Bach because it's Wednesday.
Hump day!
And we are talking about restaurant service etiquette and what is your threshold for bad service. And we opened it up to calls and texts. We would love to hear from you on your ability. What is your patience level when it comes to I ordered, I waited, it's still not here, I'm leaving. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96.
Party.
Do we have a text?
We do, from the 920. The clincher for me in this instance was people that came in after us got their food before us, so he was not wrong. Another one from the 608. You've hit right on the key, communication from the staff. If they can explain it, I usually can get by, but they owe you an explanation as a customer if the wait time is excessive.
Because I think even if you, I've had certain, definitely in the last 2 years as unemployment's been low, it's been hard to staff, of the hostess from the get-go saying, hey, it's going to be not only this long to wait until if it's crowded, but Our kitchen's backed up.
Yeah.
So as long as you are okay, we are entering into this social contract right now that you are agreeing that it's okay, that it could take an hour, if not more, for you to get your food. You can sit, you can drink, but as long as you know that.
Yeah.
And so it's like, that is an important, so it's like, at least I know what I'm getting into. If I know that I am this hungry, like, if you have the full information, you can then, as a consumer, make a choice to go somewhere else if you're like, I'm really hungry, I need to eat.
And I think there's also one, like, on the concept of communication, there's also another thing to discuss too, is you mentioned in the last segment about bosses doing something about it. How many people then at the end of the day are like maybe the next day calling up in a respectful, informational, constructive tone saying, I went to your restaurant. Here's what happened. I just want you to know, I'm not asking for free food. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking for anything. I just want you to know that this is what's happening and I don't want to see it keep happening, especially if it's a restaurant you like. So like, I don't want to say there's a responsibility on the customer's side to let the boss know or let the business owners know, but it is something you can do. Because if business is just happening, and especially if the bosses aren't there, like if the owner isn't there and they have a general manager and whatnot, if they don't know what's going on, they can't make any sort of changes if they have no clue what's actually happening. So if they're brought to light what's happening, that's also another thing on our, as the consumer's responsibility, not going on Yelp and being a jerk, but actually calling up and be like, hey, this is what happened, or sending an email. You know, that's, you know, there's ways of doing it where you can inform them and maybe they can make changes.
Well, that's a, I mean, not to out him, but because Mike also being working the industry, in the service industry, he does that. And he does that. He does either a specific email or a DM, but it's never a review, a public review on the restaurant. it is intentional to the owner, who may or may not know that their staff is closing before, like in the hours that the restaurant is supposed to be open, people are showing up, and because it's been slow, they're closing a half hour early.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. And I get this push and pull of, like we said, service industry is a fun job if you work at the right place, and it could also be a really crappy job. It's physically hard, as far as if you're a bartender moving kegs at a busy place, how quickly you're moving, taking orders, dealing with customers. It is a job I think everyone should have to have.
Yes.
Like, hands down, more than a barista, like working in a restaurant, working at a bar.
And a factory.
And if, I've never worked in a factory. Honestly, there's not that many factory jobs anymore.
That's true.
That's
true.
I got all the kids to work at the mill. I think that...
sweep up the saw.
Go dig coal, children. I did, come on.
I worked at Brookfield Square for 3 years, which means I worked the course of 3 Christmases, too. That's a whole different world. I mean, like, that's a whole different world and a whole different set of, like, entitlement. It's crazy pants. It's crazy.
What's your craziest story?
From the mall, it didn't come from me, but it came from the owner. A guy came in with a box of what looked like dust and said, "I bought this from you, like, whenever.
Take it back.
Take it back. I want my money back." And the guy came in saying, like, "I'm a doctor. I don't deserve to be treated like this. I'm a doctor. Take this back. I bought this and now it looks like this." And the owner, who, it was a collectible store. We sold like Yadros and Department 56 stuff. And the guy who owned the place looked like he literally looked at a factory.
Like, that's Precious Moments. I used to collect those.
Yep. We had Precious Moments as well. Swarovski crystals. And my boss just looked right at me and goes, "Sir, you're an idiot."
Wow.
He said, "If you walked into this store and bought this item and it was in perfect shape and now you're bringing it to me and it's dust, that means you broke it so poorly that you expect me to believe that you weren't the idiot who broke it," and sent him on his way.
This is not Nordstrom's. We will not take your used tires.
I just love that he expected the fact that he's a doctor.
I'm a doctor.
Is somehow going to change things. No.
And I used to work at a music store too, in customer service. Same thing too. People with their entitlements, and you know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. There are positive ways of going about bringing problems to management.
Well, and I think that's what's so great about this subreddit is people put in, like, detail.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the charm of, especially when there's certain ones that go viral and they get BuzzFeed articles written about them and there's discussion, because they put a lot of detail into trying to paint the full picture of my perspective. This is my stance on this, because there are situations where I'm sure that guy felt very dishonored in that situation, that doctor.
"Well, you were an idiot, doctor, sir." Yeah, I mean, I've got tons of stories. I mean, I'm sure you do. Like, if you work in service industry for a year, you're going to get stories.
Yeah.
And I think if everyone worked in service industry, minimum wage would be $17.
Mm.
And I think that people would be a little bit nicer when they walk up to that counter and ask for something.
I think that's true. But to come full circle, did we get any more texts or anything? All right. I do think in this instance, this guy was right. Mm-hmm. In my instance, that was similar to this. We did end up waiting for the food. We took it to go. But my friend that I was with left a very objective note of all the things that had happened on the receipt. And he still tipped well, but he just had a bullet list of what had gone wrong for the person to reflect on. All right, we gotta go to another break. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit wesaysaveit.org. That's wesaysaveit.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM.
I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute. The EU wants to set up a UN-backed specialized court to investigate possible war crimes by Russia in Ukraine.
European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen says the EU will work with international partners to get the broadest international support possible for the tribunal, while continuing to support the work of the International Criminal Court. Since Russian President Vladimir Putin ordered the invasion of Ukraine on February 24, his military forces have been accused of abuses ranging from killings in the Kyiv suburb of Bucha to deadly attacks on civilian facilities. Investigations of possible military crimes committed are underway around Europe. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
The House is moving to head off a looming nationwide rail strike, passing a bill that would bind companies and workers to a proposed settlement reached in September, but rejected by some unions. I'm Ed Donahue.
We tried Dynavite for gut health and immune support, and after a couple of weeks, our little Gizmo was acting like a puppy again. His coat was shinier, he had a lot less scratching and shedding, and he seemed like his happy old self.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get them a shirt from Untuck It. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels, wrinkle-free shirts, performance shirts with stretch, and cozy sweaters that are all perfect for right now. They even have a line for her. Find the perfect gift for every guy on your list at one of 80-plus Untuck It stores or at untuckit.com. Untuck It, shirts designed to be worn.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Natnair with your headlines. The Respect for Marriage Act has passed the Senate by a 61-36 vote and now moves on to the House. It is expected to pass quickly and then head to the executive desk, where President Biden has pledged to sign it into law. The measure requires all states to recognize same-sex and interracial marriages performed in any other state. It does not require states to allow these marriages to be performed or require nonprofit religious groups to perform a same-sex marriage. However, it does protect marriage equality in a way that once signed into law could not be overturned by the Supreme Court, in the same way they decided access to abortion was not a constitutional right when they overturned Roe v. Wade. Wisconsin U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, a lead sponsor of the legislation. Wisconsin's GOP Senator Ron Johnson voted against. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Goes Wisconsin.
Mellow gold.
Mellow gold. All right. Well, I read, so I'll prep. Let me set this up a little bit. The holidays are basically here. The Waukesha Christmas parade is this weekend.
Sunday.
This is that Sunday. Around the state, around the country, but this is As Goes Wisconsin. So around the state, you've already seen, what was the reps
it's
show?
It's the Nativity Variations.
The Nativity Variations.
So funny.
But the Nutcracker, Christmas Carol, Black Nativity, around the state, there's going to be lots of performances that people will enjoy, sometimes classics, sometimes new. And I am a big fan. I think it is no secret to anyone who listens to this show that Jane and I are big fans of musical theater. We're big fans of the performing arts.
Yes. Yes, we are. You are. Yes.
And so to kick off the season.
Are we at NPR now? Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. To kick off the season, I thought we would do or do a dramatic reading of a review of a classic. Truly, at one point, it was the longest-running show on Broadway. And if you are a fan of this show, we would love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
Yes, please.
And I will admit, I was a fan of the soundtrack of this show as a kid. I cannot tell you the countless amounts of hours. I had a full-length mirror on the back of my closet door in my bedroom growing up.
Okay.
And I would swing the door open so it was like flush with the door to my actual room. I would move the little like nightstand that sat in between the two doors in front of the door to actually come into the room so that people couldn't walk in on me doing this.
That was smart.
And I would, the hours I spent making up choreography and lip syncing to musical theater growing up. And Cat's soundtrack was Mr. Mistopheles. I did a lot of interpretive dance to that song.
If there was Spotify back in those days and you got your Spotify rap, it just would have been like, wow, kid, go outside. You like a lot of musical theater.
Touch the grass.
Yeah.
So
touch the grass.
So I saw someone post this. This is not even a new review. This is from 2017. This was published originally, but right before the movie was coming out, because they made Cats into a movie. Was the director of that? It was like a huge deal. Taylor Swift was in it. Idris Elba was in it.
Like James Corden.
Yeah, the cast was insane.
Judy Dench, I think, played
Grazabella.
Yes.
It was a movie that, by the way, nobody asked to be made.
Yes. And I think it tanked,
Tom Hooper.
So, I read this review of Cats. It wasn't even a review. It's a hilarious writer trying to think back to what the plot is of Cats. So if you, musical theater fans out there, know what the plot of Cats is, please let us know. 844-967-2789. Because what I'm about to read is certainly not the plot of Cats. But here we go. If you had asked me last week what the plot of Cats was, I would have said it's about a bunch of glamorously feral cats who are going to get evicted from their garbage patch, but somehow prevail to keep their home. This was the impression it made on me 25 years ago as a 5-year-old, but it is not at all the plot of Cats.
That's the end of the story.
In order to keep the memory of this show alive for my childhood self, I refuse to research what actually happened during this show because it is totally, utterly, absolutely bonkers. As we continue, let me set the scene for you. Literally, the stage is indeed a garbage pile. The set is reminiscent of the vacant lot behind my first New York City apartment where a group of small kittens, who eventually turn into terrifying wildcats, but not capital C, cats, policed a haphazard garbage pile where we would leave our refuse. This junkyard on stage is similar, full of trash of improbable and inconsistent sizes. There's an oven as tall as the cats, and a shoe that's even bigger than the oven. There's a tire that will eventually turn into a spaceship in the final act, and a cluster of string Christmas lights overhead that gives a bohemian feel. The floor is painted to look like a newspaper, and the whole thing feels sort of like my college dorm room after the time we decorated all the light fixtures with vodka bottles and fishnet tights. In the opening number, the cats slink on stage and start to introduce themselves in Andrew Lloyd Webber rock opera falsetto. It's delightful, but confusing. These cats, it seems, are stuck in a dystopian London garbage heap, suspended in purgatory between their 9 lives, waiting to ascend to their next life. They call themselves Jellicle Cats, and they try to explain what that means in a song, but it's very hard to understand what they're saying. While singing this song, they prance around the stage in spandex, bedazzled cat costumes, and wild poofy hair that has since been tamed into ears. They do have a sexy sort of cat ballet, all the while decrying that they are metaphorical cats, hypothetical cats. What? There is a lot of unchristian hip movements and innuendo. I'm just going to tell you now, there are no lines in this play. It is a cat opera, and every thought, feeling, and word is either danced or sung. What are you thinking so far? Is this pretty accurate? Is you what do you remember, Jane?
Absolutely. I was so confused. It's like, what am I seeing? And why am I here?
All right, so we continue. From what I gathered, the cats are here today for a cat ball, where they will find out which one of them will be chosen to leave purgatory and return to life. For the next hour and a half, all the cats are introduced with an elaborate song and dance that is possibly their audition for the afterlife. There's a cat who looks like a drag queen doing a David Lee Roth impression. Another of whom everyone is afraid of is Grezabella, the glamour cat. There's a very fat cat and two acrobatic bandit cats who do impressive gymnastics. There's a very old and important cat named Deuteronomy who seems to be in charge. He's wearing a shag carpet with shags that are at least a foot long. The plot begins to unfold, I think, as the other cats announce that this respected elder cat will choose one of them to be reincarnated and leave purgatory for their next life. When intermission rolls around, it's unclear as to what is actually happening in the show. At the bar, there's a choice between a literal $37 glass of wine or a more reasonably priced, from New York at least, $12 Jellicle juice that is improbably made with coconut rum.
I love the headlines of the next part. What just happened? I don't know. Did I like it? I do not know.
All right, so we have confirmed at least that the end of the first act does not end with the
memory song.
The marquee song, Memory. All right. Act two entails, yep, more cat introductions.
Great pun.
There's a railway cat who comes on stage for an elaborate performance and is never seen or heard from again. The lights pop up and spooky music plays to introduce a cat named McCavity.
Should have been McCatvity.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah, right.
McCavity is a criminal. He does an improbable ballet fight and attempts to rape one of the lady cats. Trigger warning. Mr. Mistopheles, here's my number, is summoned to save the day, and it seems he's a magician of sorts, dressed like Siegfried and Roy at Burning Man. He can control the lights, and he uses his powers to flash the overhead string of Christmas lights in a rainbow frenzy. This is where the acid would really kick in. Mr. Mistopheles is so impressed with himself for saving the day that he leaps into Deuteronomy's arms, and Deuteronomy cradles him like a baby kitten, which might have been the highlight of the show. It was adorable.
Oh my God.
All right, here we go. We're getting to the end. We're getting to the climax. Grezabella, the glamour cat, creeps on stage. The other cats are still afraid of her, but she woos them with a song. Memory, which is the song I promise you know. Barbra Streisand sang it in 1982. Grezabella sings hard, the kind of glass-shattering volume you think of when you think about Broadway. It gave me goosebumps. After this song, Grezabella has won the hearts of both the audience and the Jellicle cats.
And by this point, Jane had walked out an hour before.
Yes.
I'm out.
Jane's like, I don't know what.
I'm so confused.
I got what I came for. The play is winding down, and since nothing has actually happened, something has to happen. Shaggy Deuteronomy chooses a cat to reincarnate. He climbs up onto the tire to announce the winner, and it is obviously Barbra Streisand cat. She is helped onto the tire, which then begins to rise off the ground, blue smoke pouring out. This moment is the only thing I remember besides being amazed and terrified by the cats scampering around up and down the aisle from when I saw the show 25 years ago. Although I didn't remember that I remembered it until I saw it again. Deuteronomy and Grezabella are on their floating tire while the stage is bathed in smoke and blue lights and the power cords of Andrew Lloyd Webber are reverberating around the theater.
Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Sorry.
Respect.
It is the stuff that dreams or nightmares are made of. Grezabella levitates from the tire and is lifted into the heavens just as daylight breaks and the rest of us garbage cats are stuck in this purgatory junkyard we call life. The show is over. So, what just happened? I do not know. Did I like it? I do not know. Would you like it? I do not know. I asked a few other theatergoer friends what they thought the plot was. As one friend said, Cats is about a colony of Jellicle cats who get together annually to elect a new cat lord, but instead they get distracted and have a talent show and end up keeping the same leader.
Wow.
But did she like it? It's hard to tell. Another quote, my mouth was wide open the entire 2 hours and 20 minutes show. My jaw was on the floor. I love the 80s hair band style. I want to live in the set of Cats. The light bulbs were by far my favorite part. The music is like the soundtrack to The Lost Boys, but with a lot more insane breathing and Broadway singing. It could have used more hissing. And that, my friends, is the most bonkers acid trip review summary reincarnation of Cats I've ever read. It is written by Teddy Minford. It was originally published in 2017. It's so funny and it's so accurate because as someone who I just, as I admitted, I sang and danced and lip synced to this soundtrack for hours as a kid. And I don't think I could have done a better job trying to summarize what actually the plot is of this musical. This is a musical that's been running for years.
Decades.
And none of us can explain what the plot is.
But what's great at the very end, it says, author's note, one sentence. After writing this, I finally looked up the plot of Cats. I still don't get it. I mean.
And so if you have a better description of what Cats is about, we would love to hear it. 844-967-2789. I don't think they're dead.
I never picked up that vibe. That they were looking to get reincarnated.
Is it Sixth Sense the musical?
I see dead cats.
I see dead cats all the time. I want to sing about it.
And so I just, before that got lost in the, you know, bank of all of the different articles I ever read and want to talk about on air, just thought that was a great way to kick off the holiday season. There is no Christmas show, I promise you, that will be as bonkers as the Cats musical is.
Well, and certainly any playwrights who are listening, this should give you great hope that you don't necessarily need a plot.
Now I want to know who wrote the story of Cats. Because obviously Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote the songs.
But there's a book somewhere.
But I remember trying to look this up once on Wikipedia, and it's like based off
poems or something?
Yeah, like 1800s British poems.
Yes, it's based off a 1939 poetry collection, Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats by T.S. Eliot.
There we go. That guy loved acid.
Wow. Just.
Oh, T.S.
Good old T.S. Just dropping the LSD.
There's Act One is called When Cats Are Maddened by the Midnight Dance, and Act Two is called Why Will the Summer Day Delay? When Will the Time Flow? Oh, my God. What are we doing here? What are we doing?
And on that note, that has been our rendition of Cats the Musical.
Next week,
coming to a theater near you.
Next week, we'll be reading The Producers.
All right. We got one more break. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
The radio show your mother warned you about.
Actual tyranny of a dictator. Dictator's gonna dictate Putin. And what did Trump do? Trump kneeled to the man. Embarrassing Republicans, and you're still with the guy? This is your front runner in 2024? Are you even smoking some of Mike Lindell's crack? What are you thinking?
They're the GCCCP. We are the devil's advocates.
Live weekday afternoons from 3 to 6. The Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Jenny.
It's up to all of us. It's not just up to Democrats. Are we ready to rid our country of this perversion and deception? You know, are we sick of massacres at churches, grocery stores, theaters, concerts? Are we sick of adults forcing children who are raped into pregnancy? When is enough enough that we're going to vote out those fascists?
I'm putting you down for Caller Hall of Fame today. We have to carry these messages, even if the Democratic Party is incapable. You keep it up, sister.
Follow The Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Highs level off around 28 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies. West winds 20 to 25 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 14 tonight. Clear skies. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 34. Overcast skies Friday. Decreasing clouds by Saturday. Upper 40s Friday. Low 30s by Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Well, this has been a very fun show.
Wacky and fun.
We did some serious stuff, yeah. But it's always fun.
We kept it light. Light and breezy.
It's fun to do light on Wednesdays, get through the week, especially my first week back.
Yeah.
You know.
Did you have fun?
Ease back into it. I did have fun.
This is my first time seeing you since you got back. And
I know. It was very fun. Good. It was relaxing. It was...
You could definitely see on your face with the tan.
The tan helped. Did I tell you that I ate iguana?
No. Yeah. What did the iguana do to you?
No, nothing. It was an animal. It was a prey for humans.
Wow.
Here's my question, because I never asked you this as a follow-up. Do they raise the iguanas to be eaten, or is it just any random iguana?
I did not ask the restaurant. I don't think they raise... It didn't look like there was a farm attached
iguana
to that restaurant.
Ranch.
So I imagine... Well, I will say, so on the last... Our last day there in Aruba, there is a little tiny, tiny island that apparently this hotel, the Renaissance Hotel, just bought the island. And so part of the perk of staying at the hotel is you have access and there's a little boat taxi that takes you out there. If you stay at the hotel, you can go there every day. But there's so much wildlife on the island. And so there's just flamingos walking all over the place. And you can put, there's just like there is at the zoo, where you can put a quarter in and get little food and feed the flamingos.
The flamingo feed.
And then there was also at noon every day, I walked by a sign that says a little picture of an iguana. And it said, at noon is our lunch hour. So they just throw a bunch of romaine lettuce out on this little kind of deck area. And no joke, it was 12:30. I think one of the World Cup games had just finished. And so I was like, I'm going to go check out the iguana lunch. Not my lunch, their lunch. And literally there was 15 iguanas just chilling out, eating lettuce.
Now, the big question I have for you is, when you ate it, if you wanted seconds, did you just say iguana more?
How long are you sitting on that? Did it come to you pretty quickly?
About like 45 seconds now.
Iguana more.
Yeah, I wanted to let your story build.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
That's very punny.
Yep.
That's very punny. He did not make me say iguana more.
Okay.
Well, I also didn't want more. You have to be very careful of the bones.
Why?
Tiny little bones. Don't choke on them.
No, thank you. No, I don't.
I'm going to show you the picture. You could pick out his little rib cage.
Okay. What are you doing?
Oh.
No, it's just like, with Thanksgiving, even when I was vegan, I was in charge of carving the turkey. And when you just hold up a turkey spine, you're like, what is this? What am I doing in my life?
It is a funny, like, kind of barbaric thing to think that the wishbone game.
Yeah.
Where you pulled the bones apart and whoever got the bigger piece is like, well, you got your wish. So yeah. Who made up that?
I don't know, someone who enjoys, like, you know, iguana rib cage.
It tastes like chicken. What's the weirdest thing you've eaten? God. Weirdest being the most untraditional American weird.
I don't know. A vegetable, if you're going to...
Fair.
Weirdest American.
Fair.
Yeah, vegetable. Not deep fried. I don't honestly, I can't think off the top of my head. I will say this. Can I bring back a character from another segment?
Sure.
My old boss at that job I was telling you about,
Who called the doctor an idiot? Yep.
He was telling me that about a story where he used to work on a ranch in Montana, and they took him to a bar, and they did the whole thing with like, oh, have some Rocky Mountain oysters. And do you know what those are?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you want to tell the audience what they are?
They are the testicles of bulls or other animals. But and he said, like, he ate one and he ate a couple, and he's like, I really liked them. And then they told me what they were, and I went to the bathroom, and I tried to make myself throw up. I'm like, no, nope, that's not how it works. If you like it,
yes,
you like it. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be embarrassed. If you like Rocky Mountain oysters, cool deal. But you can't, like, find out what it is and be like, I can't do it. Unless it's human. Like, if someone's
that's
like,
your threshold.
Oh, be like, oh, that's Ted. And be like, oh, I gotta go.
What if you found out it was dog? What if you were told it was something else and then you found out it was like a dog?
I'd be really upset finding out the information. And I probably would be like, oh, I enjoyed it. But I would be really upset. I wouldn't try to, like, force myself to any sort of, like, bodily function or anything like that. Yeah. I'd be like, why did you do that? Why would you feed me dog? You know, there's Ted. We can eat Ted.
Would you rather eat Ted than
probably? He does.
You would. Too.
I think
you,
I would. I knew, think I would too.
If you knew Ted, you'd probably agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Ted. Who cares? Dude?
Here's a Ted.
Plus, you can eat Ted, not kill him.
What?
Just slice a piece off. What are we doing? What are we talking about now? Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I hope it was a great one. This is my last show.
This just totally went off the rails. My trip was great.
Oh, great. Okay,
trip was great. Highly recommend Aruba, Curacao. Yeah.
Well, we just booked flights to New Orleans for next year. So
very fun. Yeah, love that city.
Yeah, we're going in January. We're celebrating our 10th.
In 2 months?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we're actually like a month and some change.
All right.
Were the flights insanely expensive, Greg?
I used points for mine. They weren't. They would have been like $400. Wasn't super bad. They weren't super bad, but I used points for mine. And yeah, we got ourselves a nice hotel, like a 7-minute walk from. We didn't want to stay in the French Quarter or on Bourbon. Is that Bourbon? Is that the street?
Mm-hmm.
Because they said if you stay down there, you just won't sleep. It's just always busy. Mm-hmm. So we got ourselves we're going on a trip.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a fun show.
That was a fun show.
It's a good show. Good Wednesday.
Brooklyn, thumbs up.
Got a thumbs up from Brooklyn,
our resident youngster.
All right. Well, stay tuned for the Chad Holmes Show or Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. And that'll do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow. Dr. Mike will fix your life and your lineup. So think of your questions for either. I think I already have questions that I'm going to submit for my own life. So maybe you can pick out which ones are mine. Ooh, that's a fun game.
I would like to eat my coworker, Ted.
That's an intriguing tease. I like that.
As always, if you missed anything from today's show, you can go to asgoeswisconsin.com and find the podcast. Tell your friends if you enjoy the show. Tune in tomorrow, 11 a.m. See you soon.
Bye.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season.
There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
WAUK will be broadcasting the Waukesha Christmas Parade live, and you can become a sponsor. Call us at 262-232-8164. Sponsorship includes an on-air interview during the live broadcast of the Christmas Parade. A portion of the proceeds goes directly to the Waukesha Memorial Fund. Please call at 262-232-8164. That's 262-232-8164.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.